Amen. So who are we talking about? Who are we talking about? Who he says, and I saw heaven opened. Who's talking? Who's talking?
John.
So we've looked at a few lessons in the past few weeks, and so John is on the Isle of Patmos and he's had visions. So this is something that has not quite happened yet, but it's something that he's seen. So he says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Who are we making reference to?
Jesus.
But when, thank you for that, Sister Alzi. So when we look at this particular section, Jesus is making an entrance. But if we take it back to the first 10 verses, does anything jump out, those first 10 verses? Does anybody have a chance to read those first 10 verses?
And he cried with a loud voice.
Has anybody had a chance?
I'll quickly browse through it. Yeah, and it starts off with worship, doesn't it? And a celebration of the downfall of Babylon.
Mm. Thank you for that, Bishop. So we see in the first 10 verses that there is praise and there is worship, and there's a kind of a feeling that that Jesus is about to come, and Jesus is about to make an entrance. And so that's what the first 10 verses starts to do. And what hit me really was, the scripture that came to me was that, when the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness on the face of the deep. And the scripture then talks, it talks about God speaking. And they said, letting there be light. And so, what came to mind was how this whole darkness, when the Bible talks in Genesis 1, that it was without form and it was void and it was dark, and God came and made an entrance and then brought change. And then I'm looking at this right at the very end, imagine Genesis is the very start, and then right at the very end, a very similar.
Okay, I'm coming. Just getting.
And we have a very similar principle that there is a word, there's a worship, and Jesus himself is coming through. The Son of God is coming through. Maybe not the light in the sense of light, but Jesus Christ, who is the light, is coming through. And so that those first 10 verses reminded me of how when God first made his entrance, should I say, and I see a very similar kind of principle taking place here. So let's break this down then. So in verse 11, we now have, and so Jesus is on a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. What do you think that could mean, faithful and true? Anyone?
Faithful to his word and true to his promise.
Faithful to his word. Do we agree? Is there any other take on that?
The truth to his word.
Jesus said this is what he was going to do. Did he say that when he first came? This is the second coming. So when he first came, did he say that? Did he say he was coming back?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so so the first thing that we're picking up is that he's saying that he is faithful and true. He goes on to say, and in righteousness, he doth judge and make war.
Amen.
What does that mean? In righteousness, he doth judge and make war. In righteousness. Anyone?
Is it his authority over mankind?
His authority over mankind?
Okay. And the glory of his judgment.
Amen. So let's just have a think around this. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war for the right reasons. It says Christ is true in his word and promise, and as such, he is a warrior judge. But his motivation is a zeal for righteousness, not a desire for power. So yes, he's come to bring change. But most of the time when people come to war, they come to war to gain power. But this is to drive home the message of righteousness. He said, but his motivation is a zeal for righteousness, not a desire for power. Righteousness here means legitimacy and right relationship with God. Righteousness and justice go hand in hand.
Yes.
It says here, notice that this is not a defensive move.
Yeah.
He is conducting or initiating a war that is just, executed in righteousness and commissioned by the Father. Mercy was extended, judgment now follows. So in his first coming, mercy was extended, and now there is judgment. Amen?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And like I say, you know, feel free to interject. Feel free if there's any other thoughts. So it says his eyes were as a flame, as a fire. Any thoughts around that? His eyes were a flame of fire. This is just, they're describing Christ on a horse. His eyes was as a flame of fire.
That matches his description in the first chapter as well, doesn't it? In that his eyes are like fiery flames.
Fiery flames.
Yeah. I guess it for me, it's kind of, there's a sense of like purity, there's a sense of the spirit as well, being able to see clearly. And, you know, his eyes, well, yeah, the purity of vision. So clarity of vision and purity of vision in what Amen. He sees. And I just wanted to touch as well on when you spoke about in righteousness, he judges and makes war. And I think, like, if you look through history, like, there's very often been wars started and people have had kind of like a noble motive. But as they kind of gain power, it corrupts them and it changes tack from what they started off, the ideals they might have started off with. Mm-hmm. And then it veers into something else. Whereas like Jesus is righteous and he makes war, but like you said, it's not for his own power or aggrandizement. He's not trying to take advantage of anybody. It's he has the authority, like Sister Alzi said, he has the authority to make war, and it's righteous and it's right and it's just and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I quite agree with you, brother.
Thank you.
Brother Joe, can I just say that does it also include his glory and his judgment upon the earth? The fire does.
Does it?
I'm asking you, does the fire...